Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 26. Our focus today will be in chapter 27, but I want to point out what happens in chapter 26, because it makes David's behavior in chapter 27 that much sadder. As we've said before, this is a description of what happened, not a prescription as to how we're to live. It accurately and honestly describes what took place. And that's the wonderful thing about God's Word. It is 100% true. But we need to be careful how we study it, or we can come to the wrong conclusions. So in 1 Samuel chapter 26, David again has the opportunity. Saul is chasing him. Saul has 3,000 chosen men to search for David. He's pursuing David, and he's out to kill him. And David sneaks up on him in the middle of the night, goes right into his camp, and in verse 12 of chapter 26, David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping. Notice this phrase. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. Got that? The Lord had given them all anesthesia, as it were. He had put them all into a deep sleep. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood up on top of the hill some distance away, and there was a wide space between them. He called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner. "Aren't you going to answer me, Abner?" Abner replied, "Who are you who calls to the king?" David said, "You're a man, aren't you? And who is like you in Israel? Why didn't you guard your lord the king? Someone came to destroy your lord the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men deserve to die because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord the king." And he added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done, and what wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord the king listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, men have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have now driven me from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, 'Go serve other gods.' Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Because you considered my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. Surely, I have acted like a fool and have erred greatly." "Here is the king's spear," David answered. "Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble." Then Saul said to David, "May you be blessed, my son David. You will do great things and surely triumph." So David went on his way, and Saul returned home. But David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will give up searching for me anywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David left the 600 men with him, and the 600 men with him left, and went over to Achish, son of Maoch, king of Gath. David and his men settled in Gath with Achish. Each man had his family with him, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, the widow of Nabal. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he no longer searched for him. Then David said to Achish, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be assigned to me in one of the country towns that I may live there. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you? So on that day, Achish gave him Ziklag, and it has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David lived in the Philistine territory 1 year and 4 months. Now David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites. From ancient times, these people had lived in the land extending to Shur and Egypt. Whenever David attacked an area, he did not leave a man or woman alive, but took sheep and cattle, donkeys and camels and clothes, and then he returned to Achish. When Achish said, where did you go raiding today? David would say, against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of Jerahmeel, or against the Negev of the Kenites. He did not leave a man or woman alive to be brought to Gath, for he thought they might inform on us and say, this is what David did. And such was his practice as long as he lived in Philistine territory. Achish trusted David and said to himself, he has become so odious to his people, the Israelites, that he will be my servant forever. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
In chapter 26, David acts in faith. He does something that is courageous, and God grants him success. As we looked at those verses, we saw that God caused Saul and the 3,000 choice soldiers with him to fall into a deep sleep. God is quite able to do this, by the way. I want you to think back in the scripture, when is the first time that God caused a man to fall into a deep sleep? Adam. While Adam slept, God provided what he needed. God is very able not only to give us what we need, but also to put us to sleep. Now, those of you who have trouble sleeping, the Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. That's a verse that I have had to claim on occasion, because sometimes I have had trouble sleeping. I'm exhausted until I lie down, and then I start thinking of all the things I haven't done. If I had 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I would still be thinking of things that need to be done that I haven't gotten done because there hasn't been time to do them. It's just the way it is. So you've got to learn the Sabbath principle. And that is, God says, I want you to take this time out and rest. God commands us to rest. Well, likewise, God also gives us the night to sleep. That doesn't mean that if you live in a northern clime where during the winter it's dark almost all the time, that you're just allowed to turn into a bear and hibernate. It does mean that there should be a rhythm to your life and that you will be physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthier if you will get in a rhythm and have a schedule and go to bed at night and sleep. Some of you are ready right now, I can tell. All right. The Lord put David's enemies into a deep sleep so that David was able to sneak into the camp and take what was right at Saul's head. If he could take the spear and the jug that were at Saul's head, what else could he have taken? Saul's head, okay? Remember, this is the guy who came to see Saul after he killed Goliath, and he's holding Goliath's head. So when he goes to where Saul is, and he takes the two things that were by Saul's head, he's sending a very clear message to Saul and to Saul's army. And that's why when he stands, when he goes back out, he rebukes the leader of Saul's army, Abner. He says, shame on you. This is wrong of you. You've not defended your master. And Abner's like, man, I don't know what came over me. I was just knocked out. David, when he acted in obedience to the Lord, was invincible. But sometimes, even after the Lord's blessing on him, David gave in to fear. Now, this is important, first of all, because this reminds us we worship God, not his servants. We don't worship preachers. We don't worship the apostles. We worship God. And when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because we worship God. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only man who ever lived a sinless life. Everybody else has messed up. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus is the only one who could be the mediator between God and man. So, first thing I want you to see in this passage today is that in chapter 26, God demonstrated once again for David that when he would trust and obey, he was invincible. But despite that, David messes up and starts behaving out of fear rather than faith in chapter 27. Look again at the beginning of chapter 27. David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. Now, when you get a thought like that, you need to stop and take that thought captive and say, is this of God? Is this the truth? Take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. Don't just accept what pops into your head. David has defeated Goliath. He has led Israel in many military triumphs. He has twice had the opportunity to kill Saul, and because of his reverence for God, he did not touch the Lord's anointed. And yet now, after this success in chapter 26, when Saul says to him, I have sinned, you're going to win, come on back, all is forgiven, I'm the one who's messed up, you're the good guy, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, come on back. David wisely knows not to accept the word of a lying, crazy person. But David sadly begins to behave based on a lie himself. What he thought here is that God's promises were not going to hold up for him. David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. God had already said he was going to be king. David knew God had said he was going to be king. Jonathan knew that God had said he was going to be king. Saul knew that God had said he was going to be king. Everybody knew this. But David is looking at the circumstances and he's saying, nope. One of these days, Saul's going to kill me. Now, excuse me, you can't have it both ways. Now, when thoughts come into your head, sometimes they come from your human nature, your flesh nature, your sinful nature. We all have a sinful nature that we have to learn to put to death daily. Sometimes that's where the thoughts are coming from. But sometimes the thoughts that are coming into our head are coming from the enemy, the father of lies. And you can especially recognize those because they are hallmarked, they are identified most easily when they suggest that what God has said isn't true. Satan tries to get people not to believe what God says. And so if you have thoughts that are coming into your mind that are contrary to the Word of God, you can recognize where that thought's coming from. That's a lie from the father of lies. And you need to know that when those thoughts come, they're from the enemy. Don't believe his lies. So, fear began to govern rather than faith. And David, acting in fear, did the opposite of what he had told Saul he wanted to do. He had said, I don't want to have to leave Israel. I don't want to have to go away to where the gods they worship are foreign gods. I don't want to be far from the presence of the Lord. Now what he's referring to there is that God's presence was manifested where the Ark of the Covenant was. And if you went off into foreign land, you were farther away from the place where God manifested his presence. So, David now does the very thing he said he didn't want to do. And he does it out of fear. A lot of you will be tempted this year to do things that you don't want to do, that you know you shouldn't do, out of fear. One of the most common fears that drives people is the fear of rejection. We call it peer pressure. They're afraid that if they do the right thing, other people will laugh. Other people will mock them. And so rather than risk doing the right thing that they know they should do, they do things they know they shouldn't because they want to be accepted. They want to be popular. They want other people to think well of them. Where are those other people going to be on the day of judgment? Are they going to come to your defense? You need to stand for truth. You need to stand for righteousness. You need to do what you know God says you ought to do and not give in to fear and do things you know you shouldn't. David went and he lived among the Philistines and he relied upon violence and lies to get by. Now, God, of course, because of this, changed his mind and said, David, if you don't believe my promises and do the right thing and walk by faith instead of by fear, I'm not going to use you. I've changed my mind. You're not going to be king after all. Is that what happened? No. God chose to use David despite the fact that David didn't always choose to do the right thing. God chose to bless David even though, like us, David was unworthy of God's blessing. Now, was David a better man than most of the people in the kingdom? Yes, he was. Did he trust God and have a heart after God much of the time? Yes. But this great man had faults. And as we said at the start of the message, one of the things that's so wonderful about the Word of God is that it's totally truthful, totally honest. And so we get the truth about even the heroes of the faith. And the only one who never sinned is Jesus. Everybody else messed up. Every one of them. Doesn't that mean that we should recognize that we need God's mercy? We need God's grace? And doesn't it mean that we should walk in humility in our relationship with others? Because you see, if I know that I need grace, I'm not going to act so horrified when it turns out that you do too. The fact of the matter is, I'm in no position to condemn others. Because apart from God's grace, I'd be in hell. So, when David was doing what he was doing it out of fear, not out of faith. And that's where the problem lay. And the Bible tells us whatever is not of faith is sin. If we're doing what we're doing because we think it's what we have to do, not because God says so, but because it's just, you know, it's what everybody else expects or it's the only way I know to get by. You do not have to do the wrong thing in order to try and accomplish the right result. You don't have to. The devil will try and get you to think that you have to. You will be tempted to believe that the only way you can do the right thing is to cheat. The only way you can do the right thing is to lie. The only way you can do the right thing is to steal. Because you're trying to accomplish this goal and you can't see any other way to get there other than doing the wrong thing. Don't do it. You need to walk by faith, not by sight. You need to trust what God says. God had told David that he was going to be the king. And so the problem, the biggest problem in chapter 27, in chapters 26 and 27 combined, the biggest problem is the opening of chapter 27. Because the reason David did what he did was because he didn't believe God's promise in that moment. Folks, believe God. Trust him. And do what he says. Don't be afraid. Because God can make all your enemies fall asleep. He really can. And you just cruise right on through. When you walk in faith, you may have to suffer. But God will always keep his promises. God will always keep his promises. What he's promised us is that in this life, we'll have persecution. But he says, don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. Don't be afraid. Don't walk in fear. Walk in faith.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearsvalleyranch.org.